Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, what the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
You may.
Seven or eight quick ones, and you're off with the boys to boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Bob Zemo Radio Showgram is proud to present to you insights and commentary from a fat guy in spandex. Oh, good God.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the premiere show of a fat guy in spandex. That would be me. Man, this is a show where we're going to talk about the art of being lazy. There is an art, folks, to being lazy. I mean, for me, quite honestly, I'm overeducated, underemployed, overweight, overzealous, underappreciated at times. And I am the resident professor here at the Grumpy Gator Saloon of life. I'm one of those guys that sits around and pontificates on and on and on, waxing on and off about all things of which I know nothing. So this is a show that hopefully will make you laugh, hopefully will make you chuckle, and hopefully will start to inspire you to motivate yourself to possibly change the way in which you think about things. See, that's the whole point. It's satirical at times, quirky, wacky, off the wall, just crazy stuff. And I thought, what the heck? Everybody out there's got a podcast. What the heck? Everybody out there is now sharing their thoughts, tweeting it, posting it, liking it, sharing it, gramming it, podcasting it, blogging it. Why can't I get involved? By the way, I do have a blog too, Fat Guy in Spandex blog. It's over at WordPress there. God, you got to love them WordPress people, and you got to love these Blog Talk Radio people. Given every idiot, every dork, every moron out there a voice. And so I'm going to take full advantage of it. You know, folks, like I said before, I'm an overweight, underemployed, overeducated, pontificating white guy, middle-aged, no less. You know, I'm getting to that point where I'm going to be one of them grumpy old men bitching and moaning about the weather all the time. But what I really enjoy is hockey and NASCAR. How many people out there saw this brand new knocked out or knockout qualifying? Comes from street racing. I remember back in the day, my son and I, we'd play a little Need for Speed. Then they made a movie. They made a movie out of a video game. You got to love the creativity, the innovation, and the powerful imaginative minds in Hollywood. What are we going to do today, man? I don't know, man. Let's make a movie. Let's make a movie out of a video game. We're just playing this damn video game because we can't come up with no videos. I mean, we can't come up with no ideas for a movie. So why don't we just make a movie out of the video game? Well, my son and I would play Need for Speed Most Wanted. Oh, that was a fun game. And you had to go through a series of street racing challenges. Some of them, of course, called the knockouts, where you would do a circuit, the slowest car, boom, off the track. You, my friend, are parked. You, my friend, your day is over. So NASCAR has brought in this knockout qualifying. Why? Because qualifying was about as boring as watching two flies fart just before they hit the zapper. Bing! 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 Qualifying, the most dull and boring thing on television. Now, a lot of people believe that NASCAR is boring. You just have to understand the sport. You have to understand what these teams are going through all race weekend long. But if people thought NASCAR was boring, qualifying was worse. Qualifying was worse than golf when it is the week before or after a major when nobody plays. Nobody plays before or after a major. They go to these miniature golf courses and they go to driving ranges and they drag players they think would look good off the range and off the miniature golf course and they put them on the big course. because they need players because no one's playing. Boring, dull, crazy golf. This is the way qualifying was. And it was boring to watch, you know, literally. I mean, it got to the point where my dog fell asleep and then would fart. I got fart on the mind today. Have you ever seen your dog fall asleep, then fart? Your dog never really makes a sound. It's just this sudden, silent death bomb that all of a sudden engulfs the room, and you're like, ah, ah, ah. It's worse than anything you ever experienced in college. Anyways, NASCAR introduced this knockout racing or knockout qualifying, and it's been working so far in some of the other tracks, not to mention the fact that other big racing circuits like Formula One and some of the other racing circuits use this kind of qualifying. It is a little more challenging to the drivers. It's a little more exciting for the audience, so hopefully it's a win for everybody. But, of course, it didn't go well at Daytona, first time they did it at Daytona. Part of it is because of the style of racing at Daytona, as they're getting ready for the Daytona 500. Oh, my God, the biggest race of the year, and it's always the first one. Doesn't make any sense. Everything's downhill from there, which should make people happier because you race faster when you're going downhill. But anyways, Clint Bowyer was a little pissed off. If you haven't seen the video, go to my blog, fatguyinspandex.wordpress.com. And I have a video. It's on YouTube. Clint Bowyer, Fox Sports. He's all upset. Because what happened for the first time ever in the history of me watching NASCAR is when the green flag flew for the first group to go out and do this knockout qualifying, not a single car moved. Not a single car. I thought, this is the most fascinating racing I've ever seen. The green flag is in the air. But what is happening? Nothing. There isn't a single car moving. The green flag is in the air. The clock is counting down. You got 5 minutes to get out there and run a fast lap. What are these fastest, most powerful race cars on the earth doing? Sitting still. What is going on? Nobody wanted to be the first man out. Nobody wanted to be the last man out. So everybody kind of waited. And then eventually they went, and then there was a mad scramble, very similar to what happens after the priest says, Mass is over, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And you've ever been in a church parking lot right after the service, and everybody turns on their engines, and everybody's got to funnel in to one lane, exiting onto a one-lane road with a stop sign down the street, which backs everything up, but you got to be the first car out. You've seen it. You've been there, and you know what it's like, man, to be at a church parking lot. You need to get over to IHOP before everyone else gets there because you want the good booth with the hot, sexy waitress with the bodacious set of tatas. And you don't think your wife knows you're looking at those bodacious set of tatas while you're eating your flapjacks, but my God, you are. She knows. So all of a sudden, church parking lot, everybody goes out, couple of bumps and bings. And if there's anything at Daytona you don't want is a bump and a bing. Because rubbing's racing, son. But when you get rubbed, your aerodynamics goes off. And that's enough to make you lose the pole or even the race, potentially. So Clint's all upset because he gets stuck behind a slow car. Or I should say, he gets stuck behind a driver and a car that needs to race its way in. Clint, of course, doesn't need to race his way in. He has enough provisional points. He's in. He's going for the pole. But the problem is you got this other car with another agenda that's going for the race. He needs to race his way in. He has a bigger agenda, more to lose. But Clint is pissed off that this person is in his way. Clint, welcome to life, my good man. There are plenty of times someone with a different agenda than you is going to get in your way. We may call these people assholes or jerks or pricks, but at the end of the day, their agenda is more important than your agenda. But of course, Clint didn't like the fact that this person had to race their way in, this person had to overcome adversity, this person had bigger challenges than Clint. Oh no, Clint needed to get in front of him. And in trying to get around, Clint crashed into this other car, and then he complained about it. He didn't think that yahoos with different agendas, more to lose, more to gain, should be on the same track as him. I guess Clint didn't like Malcolm Butler either. Perhaps Clint is a Seahawk fan. Perhaps Clint didn't like the fact that the Seahawks marched all the way down the field with just a few minutes left to go in the game. The Seahawks threw a big 50-yard pass that bounced, that bubbled, that moved, that twisted, and eventually was caught by a receiver on his back. You want to talk about overcoming adversity? You want to talk about overcoming challenge? You want to talk about a Hollywood ending where you can't even script this stuff? Holy cat. And what happened? Malcolm Butler blew it. Malcolm Butler blew the coverage. And the Seahawks are down, ready to score, ready to win the Super Bowl back-to-back. Everybody's thinking the Seahawks got this. Everyone's thinking, oh, it's in the bag, man. And what does Malcolm Butler do? Different agenda than Russell Wilson had. Butler needed to step up. He needed to go from zero to hero. He had to overcome adversity. He had a different agenda. He had more to win or more to gain, much to lose. And what did he do? He stepped in. And he screwed up the agenda for everybody else. He stepped in. He stole the ball. Just like what happened to Clint. Yeah, it ended in a wreck. But imagine if it hadn't. Imagine if this car that had a different agenda was able to race its way to the pole, race its way in. What a story. This is what we live for. The David and Goliath-like stories. Sometimes they turn out the way we expect. Sometimes they don't. If you're a Seahawks fan, it didn't turn out. If you're a Patriot fan, it did. If you're a Clint Boyer fan, it didn't work out for you. But imagine if Reed Sorensen had been able to control that car and drive it to the pole. But he didn't. But at the end of the day, the guy who won the poll, the guy who was able to figure all this out, the guy who was able to be successful and continue to overcome adversity in the changes of qualifying, the guy who was able to go from zero to hero is the one and only Jeff Gordon. The 24 sits on the pole. Holy cats! His swan song year, his last Daytona 500, and he took the pole. He took the pole in one of the craziest, most entertaining, most dynamic qualifying sessions I have ever seen at the Daytona 500. Holy cats! That was totally cool. That was totally awesome. Did Clint Boyer benefit and lose? Yeah. Did that cause a problem? Yes. Welcome to life. Shit happens. It ain't a matter of what happens to you, Clint. It's what you do with it. Now go out and win the damn race. Go out and win the duels this Thursday. Because qualifying doesn't matter. All that matters is where are you at in terms of your position when the pay window opens and you're at the final lap. That's all that matters, Clint. And we'll see if the storybook ending to Jeff Gordon's final Daytona final Daytona 500 actually plays out. So what's the moral of this whole story? Shit happens. It's not what happens to you. It's how you respond, I guess. You know, Malcolm Butler picked himself back up, and a few plays later, he was the hero. Yeah, Clint got sidelined, but he could be the hero. And at the end of the day, holy cats, Jeff Gordon, he was the one that ended up sitting on the pole. And overall, the entire, you know, qualifying was this unbelievable story, which is what we all tune in for anyways, right? Hey, everybody, I'm a fat guy in spandex. Thanks for tuning in to my first podcast. Hope you follow along. Have a great day.